This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
This episode is being brought to you by Unbound. Founded by lay Catholics and grounded in Catholic social teaching, Unbound helps you put your faith into action by walking with an individual in poverty through sponsorship. Start walking with your new friend by sponsoring today at unbound.org/places. That's unbound.org/places. Justin, where's your Wario hat? I got it for you as a gift and everything.
I almost grabbed it.
You did?
Yep.
So,
do you feel properly shamed by not having done that now?
So Alex has a Mario hat from Super Mario.
Boom.
I've got my Luigi hat.
Yeah, I started the whole trend.
You did?
You did, yeah.
And then as a gift, I got you a Wario hat. And where is it?
I mean,
wear hats, though.
No, he does.
I do.
Oh,
he does.
No, this is pure negligence and lack of care for us. Yeah, so why do you bring that up?
I was just thinking about when we went to GameStop, when I first got my Luigi hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to wear a Luigi hat and another thing to wear a Mario hat. But when the two guys go out together and they're wearing Mario and Luigi hats, all the weirdos come out of the...
Oh, they do.
Yeah, that guy who just came up and started like talking to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We kept walking away. He kept following us. That was weird.
I got some Spider-Man socks that day, though.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
those
that.
Those are good. Yeah, so dad jokes?
Dad jokes, yeah.
Yeah, what's your beef with dad jokes?
I have no beef with dad jokes.
No, Lewis.
My beef?
Yeah.
We'll get into that after I tell a joke that is just a joke.
Okay.
It is not a dad joke.
Yeah.
And I think I know where we're going.
How many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh?
8.
Yeah, you think that. It's 10 tickles.
Oh, my friends, this is 10,000 Places Podcast coming at you from the underground. And today we are talking about dad jokes.
That is the topic, dad jokes.
But we are talking about why dad jokes shouldn't be called dad jokes, because it implies that dad jokes are different from just normal jokes, because dad jokes are just jokes.
Yeah, we can get into it. I am the person who's going to be complaining about them, but then talking about other things maybe. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to get into puns and how much I love puns, and that's usually what jokes are and what dad jokes are. And so, All right, well, take us away, Lewis.
I am Lewis Pearson.
I'm Justin Aquila.
I'm Alex Giltner. And I'll just note that there was a family of tomatoes, and one of the tomatoes fell behind, and so the dad went back and squashed him and said, catch up.
Nice.
I recently, on a road trip, the GPS was telling me to take a left on the fork in the road, just mused out loud why we never take the spoon in the road.
Ooh.
And my daughter
groaned.
Groaned, yes. Which is probably why it's a dad joke.
That reminds me of the Muppet movie. And when they get to the fork in the road, and it's a literal fork. And Kermit is like, didn't expect it to be an actual fork in the road.
My favorite scene from a Muppet movie was they're trying to break into a museum.
That's the Manhattan caper
and
one.
They look down. It's really far down. And it's like, well, how do you get down without getting hurt? And one of them says, what if we jump, but just halfway?
So, yeah, the dad joke is usually a pun.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I have not, in line with your thought, I have not really divined any sort of actual, objective, concrete criteria for what makes one thing a pun and one thing a dad joke. Mm-hmm. And like, to me, the king of the joke, the kings of the joke, I suppose, are the Marx Brothers and Shakespeare. Okay. No, seriously.
Combo.
Seriously. Yeah. Right. Like, these are the inveterate punsters. Mm-hmm. Right. And Shakespeare, of course, and I mean, puns are like, I mean, language. And that's the beauty of the joke, right? The joke is some sort of play on language. It's not just humor, right? This is why I hate when people talk about, well, elephants tell jokes. No, they do not. You don't have them going, brr, 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 brr. Oh, see that play on, brr, I did, you know?
Wait, people make this claim?
Well, it's because elephants, who actually exhibit in the animal kingdom a lot of behavior that's more like humans than even like chimps do. Mm. One of the things to do is they'll play little tricks on each other.
Yeah.
And so,
so when I was jokesters. Growing up, the phrase dad joke, that's relatively new.
I don't remember it from when I was young.
Either. And all the stuff like on the Laffy Taffy and the books full of jokes, they're all the kind of jokes today that people say, oh, dad joke. I think it's just a joke.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, it was, there's a few categories, but one of them was practical jokes.
Right,
and
which
I remember thinking, oh, those are the mean jokes.
That's prank, yeah.
Yeah, playing tricks on people. So when people say elephants, they mean that kind.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I never understood how, I get how a joke is funny, but I don't get how a practical joke, so to speak, is funny. Because you're tricking someone, and we're all laughing because we tricked you.
Well, and that's where humor has gone, too, in movies and stuff. Like, you know, like, you watch... like that movie Step Brothers, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, or even the other one they were in, Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so mean.
Yeah.
Everything is so mean. And so it's almost like that's the measure of like a real joke versus these dad jokes, which are funny and somewhat cute and clever and... Mm-hmm.
And I remember,
and they're not like humor's also become very absurd. It's very absurdist. It's very random, and and I'm an appreciator of that. But like, you go back to Duck Soup, one of the great Marx Brothers movies of the great Marx Brothers, and just the just clever things that are just flying out of their Groucho, and Harpo doesn't even talk, but a dog comes out of his chest. Which was probably huge special effects at the time. But like this is just a different order of humor.
Yeah. But even their visual comedy is a form of what's wordplay. It's unexpected.
Well, that's what the... Yeah. So this is what the Three Stooges are up to. Like, they call it slapstick and we kind of joke at it. But like, Three Stooges, you go back and watch them, they're very funny. Mm-hmm. And they're very clever. It's not just that. But then also the physical stuff they're doing is actually... It's vaudeville, right?
Yeah. But children, I'm just watching my daughter just watch... those movies, that she responds to it, which is probably getting at something of the phenomena of the dad joke.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so why does the dad joke exist? And I will say that, like, there is a seemingly, like, dads are dorky, right? That's, like, part of what dads are.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I was a kid, they wore really short shorts and knee socks up to their knees with, like, the two big... color stripes and tennis shoes and a like you know like wife beater tee with stripes that are blue and purple, and you think,
be careful, probably coming back.
Well, I just remember the time that I walked into my house on one of the days that we were all hanging out. I don't think you were there, Lewis, but it was the bunch of us, and I walked in with my, you know, I had my flip-flops on and my cargo shorts and my t-shirt and like one of those like bush hats, you know, like, and you, Justin, looked at me and said, oh my gosh, you look like such a dad.
Yeah. Well, that's the new dad. Like, it's not the short shorts, it's the baggy shorts.
Well, right, right. But then I looked at him and I said, you're dressed in the exact same way. And he goes, I know, I'm a dad. But so I think the dad joke is that, like, I remember my dad telling me jokes, and there are jokes that are like cringy. And so that's got to be where it comes from, right? Like,
even though I was raised by my mother, whenever I'd see my dad, he always had a joke for me. Mm-hmm. And one of the highlights for me seeing my dad is getting another joke that I could put in my back pocket and then tell when I went back to school. My wife says this. This is the glory and the cross of mothers. She says when she was growing up, my wife, her mother was stay at home. She spent a lot of time with her mom. I mean, she went to school. She wasn't homeschooled. But she spent a lot of time with her mom. But almost all of her childhood memories were of her dad picking her up and wrestling with her and playing and, you know, piggyback rides, stuff like that. She has almost no memories of her mother. And I remember thinking about that with my own children growing up. I need to wrestle with them, do these things, you know, even though they're only with me for like half an hour and they were with my wife all day long. Many of our memories are playing around with their dads. And I say it's the glory of the woman because she's the backbone who's holding everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's inside the body as a backbone, no one notices her.
You know, that it's funny too, because the children, I think, could possibly react that way as well. And that this is anecdotal, it's my own experience, but it fits with what you're saying. It's like, you know, I'm a very like touchy-feely person, and I like, you know, cuddling with Jack, my son. And when he's with me, he doesn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. He wants to push and pull, and he wants me to be on the ground, and he wants to climb on me, and then he wants to sit on me and stick his fingers in my eyes.
That's about right.
And he likes, and when he wants to cuddle, he goes, "Mom." And I get frustrated because it's like, dude, but that's probably not the part he's going to remember. And it's like, you know, like when Leia talks about remembering her mother, which does create a kind of plot problem when we find out how her mother died.
In Star Wars.
Yeah, and she talks about, you know, I don't have really memories of her, I have just images, feelings. I think that that does probably fit. Like, we have very concrete memories of our dads. And this is a generalization. It's not going to always be true.
Yeah.
And it is total speculation on my part. I'm not speaking to any pool of data, but, like, we probably have these. Like, I don't
pool
remember my
data.
Mom. Yes! Dude. Now, that was punny.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't have any real memories of my mom picking me up, but I have memories of my dad coming in and I'm running and he's holding his hands out and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't have the same kinds of like images and feelings of my dad as I do my mother. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if there is a dynamic here. But like, I don't remember my mom telling lots of corny jokes, but I remember my dad always telling this stupid joke. It's funny, but it's stupid. And it's, you know, like, oh, I know this place like the back of my hand. Hey, how'd that spot get there? And he points at the back of his hand. Like, that's the dad joke. Yep. And so, like, it is just a joke. Mm-hmm. But I know why it's come to mean this thing, you know?
This episode is being brought to you by Unbound. Our family loves Unbound. So far, we've sponsored 2 children through this organization, one in Mexico and another in the Philippines. We've been able to exchange letters, drawings, and photographs, and it has been a blessing to see the good our sponsorship does for these children and their families, as well as a great witness to my own family of the fruits of putting one's faith into action through sponsorship. You're invited to put your Catholic faith into action by walking with a child, youth, or elder through sponsorship. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/places.
Like,
I see something both touching and disturbing about it. The disturbing part is the derpy dad,
right?
He's just the doofus who can't do anything well. But the thing that's
Disney reinforces all the time.
Oh, yeah. It's why we don't read the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah. The dad is just, this is why I love Bluey. I know we keep bringing it up, but for once, a dad is not
a grown up baby.
Yeah. Grown up, you know, machismo baby who can't do anything right and is always the butt of everything stupid. The Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
Or,
he's either mean or lazy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And just doesn't get it. And it's like, no, here's a guy who cares and he's present and he's funny and clever and interesting. It's like, well, nice.
But this
like, even Encanto just came out.
Yeah,
and the dad's just a big dope.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the sweet side of seeing dad joke is enough people culturally have had the experience of having a dad who jokes with them.
Yeah,
so I like that part of it.
It is a common.
But I don't like it when my dad.
Because it's
my
said
kids,
endearingly. I've never heard someone do the dad joke and mean it mean spiritedly.
Yeah, I could be sensitive about it. When I have my kids joking, I just want to say you guys are joking, not that you guys are dad joking or something.
Right.
I sometimes wonder too if there's a compensation here, not to get terribly serious, but
maybe a compensation.
No. Oh, wow.
For the fact that fathers, because they're forced to work outside the home in the current cultural iteration, they're always coming, they're in a sense coming back to a reality that they're disconnected from in the home life on a regular basis and seeking some way to reestablish and connect bonds with the family life, which is vastly different, you know, than most societies, right? I can't remember the exact number, but something like in the 1800s, even like 80% of people are on farms, so therefore are working out of the home rather than, I mean, in the home rather than out of the home. Yeah, so it seems like there's something particularly modern about the dad joke in the way of forging connections.
Yeah. Hmm.
I wanted to say something about our mother, Mary. When I read the Gospel of John, I think of it as Mary's Gospel. We recently took a road trip, and we listened to the entire Gospel of John. And I thought, man, what an immature little baby John is. I mean, John does have a kind of metaphysical, mystical flavor to it that's not in the Synoptic Gospels. And there's a lot of good things about it. I don't mean to say it's a bad gospel. But
because I'm ready to fight if you are.
Yeah. But John is, first of all, he's so hyperbolic. Like if you read 1 John, like you read his epistles, it's hot or cold. Right?
Well, he's the most Hebrew of all of them. I have lots, by the way, any of you haters out there, I have lots to defend what I just said by, so don't even start with me.
But he is
eyewitness, most Hebrew gospel, boom.
Yeah, the disciple that Jesus loved. That disciple got that first, and then Peter got their second, and then the disciple Jesus loved. It's very clear he's talking about himself, And he doesn't mention the fact that they fell asleep during the agony in the garden. It just, all the things about it, it's like, oh yeah, you don't want to change that. You want everyone to know Jesus loved you best. So these are things that are coming out to me as a dad thinking about my kids. But the reason I think of it as the Marian gospel is because, well, Mary is with him till the end of her days on earth. No wonder it's deeper and more mystical, because he had the mother of Christ in his house. Mm-hmm. Not to say it's not John and his writing, but if Mary is in your house for the rest of her earthly days, of course you're going to have insights that nobody else has, stories that nobody else has, ways of cashing things out that no one else is going to see. She is the hidden mother that's been there the whole time that doesn't get any credit.
Well, she's the why we have the miracle at Cana, most likely, the first sign of his ministry.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the other disciples might have been there, but we don't know. But she was there. And, you know, that's a mom story. And then, of course, there does seem to be this deeply Marian element, because, and not just because she shows up, but because she bookends the life of Jesus with this moment in Cana and then this moment at the foot of the cross, when she becomes the church and John becomes the son, right? Not becomes the church in an actual sense, by the way. I want to clarify that real quick. For any of you other haters out there, I will fight you.
The dad joke is the ostensible topic of our conversation right now. But I wanted to make sure that, you know, Mary got her shout out, because my wife, that's her story. She's with the kids all the time, and yet they're always clamoring for dad.
Well, we're Catholics, right? We're not dad or mom people. Okay, we're fully embracing of all the deep structural roles, which, you know, of course, for Catholic thought is the family. The family is the fundamental social unit, and that is our politics, that is our economics, that is our theology, because God Himself is a family. He's a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit, the source of love, the receiver of love, and the love itself. And so, man, I could be on shaky ground here. I don't know in any sense what the content of that first word from the Father was when He produces the Son, but it had to have included a pun, right?
Yeah, well, one of the first
some
I remember
play
from my dad,
on words.
Yeah,
is this sacrilegious of me?
No, Genesis is about baseball. Everybody knows that, right?
Yep, in the big inning.
There you go.
Oh yeah! Wow.
I sometimes think about, if I'm getting some kind of insight into God the Father when I see my kids and they're complaining about something that doesn't matter, and I've gotten better about it, but I almost always laugh out loud in their face, right? It's just things happening, and I laugh at Jack
sometimes, and he's not old enough to care, but like,
I'm not trying to mock you. I sympathize. The laugh just comes out. I often wonder about the things that we think matter that don't. And even, this will sound mean, even true tragedies that happen to us, and reactions we have to them, and then God just kind of laughing. I wonder if there's something there that it matters, but not in the way you think it does.
Oh, I mean, even like the grand example of this is Job, right? I mean, people can see a callous God speaking to a poor peasant in that scene. But I don't see that. I see a father scolding a child, you know, and who disciplines just like a father, who doesn't let him get away with what happened, but still rewards the good that he's done, you know? And, man, I don't know the Hebrew text well enough to know if there's puns there, but there are definitely, it's more sarcastic, but there's definitely humor in that passage when God shows up, you know? And like, hey, where were you, Job, when I spread Pleiades across the sky and when I set the boundaries of the land and the sea? Where were you? I think you were asleep. No, you didn't exist yet, did you, Job? That's right. Now I remember.
Striking me that a pun is like a punch. It impacts.
That was meta.
It comes out of nowhere. And I think about how my wife deals with our kids, and she lets things be known, and she gets them ready. But I just show up, nope, this is what we're doing. But nope.
Yeah.
And a pun is kind of like that. It just sort of shows up. And it makes no sense what came before, but it kind of does.
Well, yeah.
And then in that sense, the pun is the proper punishment.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's something.
Oh, you're not even going to acknowledge it.
No, we're moving on. No, I like that because the dad joke in some ways relies on its unexpectedness, because timing matters for humor, right? Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And so there's something, I mean, I alluded to the joke I made about the spoon in the road, and my wife lost it and was almost ashamed that she was laughing as much as she was. But what made her laugh so much was she didn't see it coming. And there's something in particular I enjoy about playing on that that unexpectedness.
Yeah, there's something about that unexpectedness that drives us.
Oh,
I'm like reaching
in the car. Yeah. Well, like, mm-hmm. Why wasn't the kid allowed to go see the pirate movie? Anybody?
Why not?
It was rated R.
Ah!
Why was the cookie crying? Because his mother was away for so long.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Or how do you get a clown off a swing set? You hit him in the face with an axe. Unexpected. There you go.
That's right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. I love it. Yeah. No, the how do you get a clown off the swing set thing? There's so many versions of that joke.
Yeah.
And they're just amazing. I love all of them every time.
Yeah.
You know?
When I do that in my classes, it's just horrific stares. Like, what just happened?
Oh, man. And it's so funny.
Yeah.
Because I love jokes like that. I mean, I love jokes. Like, who doesn't love a joke?
Yeah. What do you call a reptile always starting stuff? An instigator?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now I got, you better be starting something. Got to be starting something. That has nothing to do with it.
What do a chemist and a cowboy have in common? They both work with catalysts.
Oh.
Catalysts. Yeah.
See, and then, okay, all right. So this is my deep. That's awesome. I love that. And so this is the thing that I love about the joke and the unexpectedness that's going on, but then also the expectedness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's this perfect tension. There's almost a hypostatic union of paradox.
How do these things go together, but they do.
They do, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. And it's because of the deep sacramentality of language, that language layers on itself and it plays
We're
on itself.
We're going to get emails. Like, you just made puns into sacramentality.
Absolutely, because this is part of our rationality. That's why we are the language speakers. We're not the only animals that communicate, but we are the only ones that use language.
And can use
and you don't need to be a theist to think this. Noam Chomsky thinks this, and he doesn't think rightly about almost anything in the entire universe. Right. Okay, so like, and he gets this, that like language is something to behold, even from a purely scientistic, rationalistic universe.
You'd have to believe that with a name like Noam Chomsky. Justin was about to say something profound,
I
just made fun of Noam Chomsky because his name is so weird.
Yeah, it's Jewish, which is not making fun of it. Just saying it's Jewish. He's Jewish. But yeah, so it's like there's something about what language can do, and that's what puns and jokes and these things are playing off of is like puns are like. Just these words passing through other words.
Yeah. We need to an episode on music, speaking of nothing at all.
Yeah.
I had Milli Vanilli stuck in my head as you were talking.
Yeah.
Well, it's because of the rain outside. Blame it on the rain. Yeah,
you know, that really, they kind of fell into that situation. Mm-hmm. They didn't really realize what was going on, mm-hmm. and then it ruined their lives.
Not the singers, but the guys who pretended to be the singers.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Milli Vanilli, Yeah.
Most of the way I joke with my kids is they'll ask me a question and I'll just start singing at them.
Mm. Yeah, I enjoy, I was thinking about this, I enjoy wordplay in songs, so just slightly changing the lyrics.
But that's what puns are.
Yeah.
That's what jokes are there.
And at certain ages,
yes.
Like the six-year-old, stop changing the words,
yes.
Dad.
Yeah, my son.
Yeah, and we're going to have to introduce them to some Weird Al. Mm-hmm. Hey,
that is,
do you know why
pinnacle
dinosaurs can't talk?
I don't know.
Because they're dead.
So, yeah. So you know something's coming.
Yeah. But
you,
you
still don't know what.
Yeah.
Recommendation to both of you. Look up Aesop's Fables, The Smothers Brothers Way.
Oh.
It's really good. Yeah. It's full of all kind of puns.
Yeah. So, dear listener, we're excited and happy and...
I'm going to tell that joke to my kids when I leave there.
What's that?
The dinosaur joke.
Yeah. It's not mine. I did not make it up. It's just funny. Yeah. So, like,
Yeah. Thank you for coming on this journey with us.
Send us your dad jokes.
Yeah, send us your dad jokes. We'd love to hear your Laffy Taffy jokes.
You don't have to come up with them. You share them.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, you can come up with them, but almost any time you do, it's not something you've done. That probably hasn't been done even.
It feels like the chicken that crossed the road is Genesis. Like, everyone knows that one.
Oh, sure.
Anyway.
And it is...
You were wrapping us up, and I just started talking about more
No, man. The chicken crossed the road joke is so amazing in what it does. And it reminds me of... So, the Chuck Norris jokes. I love them.
My kids love the Chuck Norris
jokes. The Chuck Norris jokes are amazing.
They have never seen a Chuck Norris movie, but they love those jokes.
Yes. No, yeah, nobody knows who Chuck... I grew up watching Chuck Norris movies because my mom loved
Delta Force and
Delta Force and like Breaker and like the deep cuts, you know? And like nobody knows that stuff. And Walker is the only thing anybody ever knows anymore. And... That was a comeback for him.
It was. Right.
He was huge in the 70s and 80s. He fell out and then came back in the 90s.
And you drop kick someone through a windshield. I mean, you got to come back.
Yeah, right? With cowboy boots on.
Yeah.
But like, so the Chuck Norris jokes are great. They're so funny. And I love, you know, reading them. And one of my favorites is a play on the chicken cross the road. And it's so good. So, dear listener, if you don't know the Chuck Norris joke, you should look this up because, first of all, you're welcome. But second of all, it's all based on this idea that Chuck Norris is this unfathomable force of power and all things reckon with him. And so, you know, there are jokes that are just obnoxious.
Are you looking at some of them or are you
thinking
of some?
No, I'm just laughing in anticipation.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris doesn't push up. He pushes the earth down.
Down, right, right. Or, you know, like Chuck Norris doesn't swim. Water just wants to be around him. And so one of my favorites is when Chuck Norris crosses the road, no one questions his intentions. Because, like, why did the chicken cross the road?
Yeah.
When he crosses the road, you know, so it's Chuck Norris jokes. They're good.
All right.
Chuck Norris has to claim the whole world on his tax return as his dependents.
I was floating. A future episode needs to be about Jean-Claude Van Damme, but what was I thinking?
We're Chuck have a future, Norris.
We're going to have a Chuck Norris episode.
My gosh. I would love.
Let's do that.
All right.
We're going to watch Delta Force with Justin.
Yeah. I'm first one and then the second one, which doesn't get as much play.
See, I haven't seen, so it'll be new to me as well.
Yeah. So, all right. So, dear listener, you got some dad jokes for us. You got some Chuck Norris jokes for us. You got some jokes for us. Mm-hmm. Let us know. We'd love to hear jokes. I still read the Laffy Taffy wrapper.
Yeah.
Which is probably bad. I'm admitting I still eat Laffy Taffy, but whatever. Thank you for joining us. If you want to give us a joke or an episode idea or tell us what you think about a Chuck Norris or Jean-Claude Van Damme episode, you can do what?
You can email us at 10,000placespodcast, 10,000placespodcast, all spelled out, at gmail.com.
All right. And until we see you again, dear listener, I'm Alex Giltner.
I'm Justin Aguilla.
I am Lewis Pearson.
And this has been the 10,000 Places Podcast.
Yes, it has.
This episode was brought to you by Unbound. Founded by lay Catholics and grounded in Catholic social teaching, Unbound helps you put your faith into action by walking with an individual in poverty through sponsorship. Start walking with your new friend by sponsoring today at unbound.org/places. That's unbound.org/places.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.